Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, joining me from the Technori Studio live at WGN Radio. It's a beautiful day. I've got Judd Marcello, CMO of Cheetah Digital, here next to me. I don't know where we're going to go with this. We started a conversation before the podcast even started, which seems to be a common theme here. We should just record the background conversations and not actually do a podcast. I feel like we'd have a better show. We started off with a conversation about Mike Dwyer, who was formerly at Cars and now is at Cheetah. Good friend of mine, good friend of the show. He's been on the show numerous times, always talking about recruiting. If you're looking to hire a bunch of people, you got the right guy.
Absolutely.
Because Mike is definitely the man at that. He'll also tell you about his wife. And congratulations, by the way, Mike, for I heard that you are now expecting a child.
That's
congratulations.
Right.
This is Judd's show, but we're talking about Mike. He'll tell you about his wife, who is on, like, what is it, Chicago Med or whatever.
I think so.
Yeah, it's crazy. Whatever, it's crazy. He brings this character over to Cheetah Digital, which recently made some big news in an acquisition. Judd, the CMO, is going to talk to me a little bit about that. But we started this conversation before the show about the need to limit distractions. Yeah. And, you know, honestly, who better to ask than someone who's literally going through this right now? You're bringing on an acquisition. You're bringing on new people like Mike, who in his own way brings a lot of stuff to the table. So it's like, how do you, as a chief operator, actually minimize distractions first for yourself and then for the rest of the people in your office? How do you do it?
Yeah, it's a really great question. And I think for anybody that's gone through an acquisition, you know that there are multiple distractions happening from every angle all day long.
Especially if you are the acquisition.
That's right. That's right.
That's,
and I've been on both sides of it.
Yes.
I've been acquired and I have acquired.
Yep.
Either way, it's, you know, rife with distraction. I think, you know, one of the ways that we try to make sure that we stay focused is thinking really about the humans involved.
Yep.
And those humans are our clients and our people, because the distractions can hit on both sides of the business. What you don't want to do is get so distracted that you take your eye off of what's important to your clients and making sure that you're delivering for them. Right. So you want to make any kind of acquisition or any kind of disruption or distraction in the business, you want to keep it in the background. You want it to be seamless for clients. And I think when it comes to people, it's the same thing. Anytime you, when you acquire and then you bring, whether it's new resources, new tools, new people into the business, it disrupts the normal flow of things. And then people, sometimes everybody has this fight or flight mentality. And some people say, this is great, this is going to make us better. And other people say, hey, look,
I don't
this
want
is,
change.
Exactly. I don't want change. And I don't want my job disrupted. Am I going to have a job? And what does this mean for me in the future? So I think what you have to do is you have to focus on the human element, and you just have to be transparent. And you have to operate with real trust and let people know what is happening. Really, what that comes down to is proper communication. You know, it's really about communicating, here's the change, here is what's going to take place now because of this change, and here are how things are going to change. And doing that over and over again.
I totally agree. I think, you know, it's funny to take it even to a little bit more granular level. I mean, I look at it like one of the, I just said this before the show, but like one of the main I think jobs that you have as an executive in this, and it's at every level, every single person who manages people, is sort of minimizing the number of decisions that any individual has to make in any given time.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you talk about the distraction of the fear of change and the sort of like who am I reporting to and how does this impact me and my family and yada yada. I think one of the ways that companies can really improve things, especially in an acquisition, is to button up decisions so that I'm not given new decisions to think about and ponder. Because what happens is, doesn't matter how talented you are, everyone has a threshold. There's a certain number of affirmatives that you can give in any given moment before you get distracted and you start getting sloppy and you make bad decisions. And so I think as an operator, one of the biggest things that very successful companies do that are able to turn acquisition into a major gain is when they're able to go, listen, we buttoned up these three or four things before we even brought it to the table. You folks are going to have these changes. Your options are X, Y, Z, and you still make the same decisions you made on Monday, on Thursday.
Yeah.
And if you can do that, people believe that leadership is strong and that you know what you're doing, and the trust is like just way easier to push them over the line than it is to let them see like you're making decisions in the moment. Like it's crazy.
I think, you know, there's a lot of truth in that. And like, let's look at that perspective from the client side of the business.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Yeah. Good.
So when we, you know, we just made this acquisition of Stellar Loyalty. Stellar Loyalty is a technology platform, really focuses on a specific use case, creating loyal customers.
Yep.
Loyalty programs, points, they work with retailers, they work with airlines, hospitality groups, what have you. You know, we purchased Stellar because we think it's an excellent complement to what we do on a regular basis. And there's a real use case for the majority of our clients. So when we think about bringing them on and what that change means in our organization for clients, I should say that we're pretty much a company full of glass half thinkers and opportunists, right? We think about the opportunity.
That's a good line.
Yeah. And so we say, how is this change going to impact our clients in a positive way?
Yep.
And so we make sure that we present it to them as such. And like you said, reducing the decisions, right, needed or the distractions. One of the values of our company is we want to be a company that's easy to do business with. So when you have periods of great change and you still make it easy to do business with us and likewise, then everything feels seamless and people only focus on what is really there, which is opportunity to make their business better.
So talk a little bit more about Cheetah Digital as an actual company and what the product lines are and how it works.
Sure.
Because, you know, I think we get this is and I guess I don't even know how I want to set this up. There's people listening to this who, if you're a casual listener, you hear marketing and you hear digital and you just like lump it all into the same thing and they hear tech and it's like ad tech. And then they go down that whole path, which speaking of which, completely random, another shout out here on the show. We had our neighbors across the street at TechNexus had an acquisition today for Corey Fengel from his New York-based Magnetic or whatever,
right.
Just got acquired. So it's cool to see the space. But for those of you who listen regularly, you recognize that there's marketing, traditional marketing, there's digital marketing, there's relationship marketing, there's a lot of things. What do you guys do that is different from everybody else?
Yeah, it's a great question. And honestly, it's confusing. The market, the landscape in the marketplace today is confusing. Like there is a blog, there's a company that releases something every year called the MarTech 5000.
Yep.
You know, you're familiar with it.
Yep.
This year they just released it. It's actually the MarTech almost 7000. There's 6,785 companies in it. How the hell do you make a decision on what technology company or that you want to partner with, what piece of technology you want to use? It's really hard to figure that out. So, you know, I agree with you. There's confusion sometimes when people think marketing and technology and software. For us, Cheetah Digital, really interesting story. We've been around for almost 20 years. Cheetah Digital today started out as Cheetah Mail sometime back in around 1999. It was really one of the pioneers of email marketing software.
Yep.
Along the way, they were acquired by Experian. So Cheetah Digital was owned by, well, then Cheetah Mail, owned by Experian for, I don't know, 12, 14, 16 years, something to that effect. And, you know, really, it was a marketing technology company, a thriving pioneer, early days of the industry, kind of stuck inside a consumer credit company.
Yeah.
And
but they operated separately for
They were part of what was called Experian Marketing Services.
Okay.
So, and, you know, that idea that Cheetah Mail was originally one of the pioneering email service providers, they stayed true to that, but they also started to develop their technology more. So instead of just being a single channel email, it became very much a cross-channel platform. So that was email, social, mobile, web, online, offline, a really, really a full suite of channel offering, channel execution. And near the end of 2016, a couple people today, our executive chairman, Peter McCormick, one of the founders of ExactTarget, kind of a storied company within the marketing technology industry. And one of the very senior executives, Samir Kazi, our now CEO of Cheetah Digital, they got together, worked with a PE firm, and they bought what was then Cheetah Mail, or as it was called, Experian Marketing Services, away from Experian. And then we recast it as Cheetah Digital in April of 2017. So it's a crazy...
Where did you come in on this?
It's a crazy story. I used to work for ExactTarget. I managed marketing throughout the European region from about 2012, 2015, hired by Peter McCormick. Samir Kazi was the then general manager of ExactTarget throughout the EMEA region. And we had a lot of success together.
Yeah.
We became fast friends.
It would appear that way.
Yeah, exactly. And so in April, I got a call from Samir and he said, hey, need you to come in and run marketing for us. So it's been a wild ride for the past 14 months or so.
I would say so. So I want to ask you a question. I don't know. I'm sure you know Ryan Benici from G2 Crowd.
I know Ryan.
Okay, so Ryan, just had Ryan in last week. This is like the CMO portal. I'm just going to have CMOs come in here. I'm going to ask them questions about being... One thing that I've never had the chance to ask a CMO of a marketing company is what is it like to be the head of marketing of marketing of a marketing company?
You know,
it always reminded me of being a principal at a school that you were a teacher at. So like, everyone's judging me like, what the hell do you know? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a very weird thing because you're running a company like anything else, but your company is a product that you have a lot to do with, like how it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like it's weird.
It may be weird, but I also think it's absolutely the best thing that you can do as a marketer. To be a company, to be CMO of a company that sells marketing software to marketers, like for me, that's the dream part about being in my role.
Yeah.
Like I love that because in my career history, early on in my career, I was a B2B marketer.
Yep.
So like I sat in the chair.
Your problem was my problem.
Exactly. I did the work for brands. Like I manage brands, develop brands, and I work with agency partners. So I did all of that.
Yep.
And then sometime around 2009-ish, I moved over to the B2B marketing side of the business. And then, you know, here I am sitting here with you. So I felt that. So I have like this a real tangible empathy and sympathy for what B2C marketers are doing, especially at enterprise level. So I love it. It's like a dream job.
So
for
you
me.
Literally can believe in your product, which I think
absolutely
is one of the things that is always, I've always been nervous about. It's like prior to the Technori stuff, like I was on that track of like, do you become a CEO? Do you become a CMO? Like, where am I? Because this, I have the component of sales, but I also have sort of like the funnel builder component of my brain and my skill set. But in the end, I'm not the greatest manager of people, as it turns out. Like I'm fine at it, but like I would need an ops person to be successful at the scale that you guys are at. I always got nervous about getting put in the CMO spot because I felt like my effectiveness would go down significantly if I couldn't totally buy in on the product line. And so for you, it's got to be like literally, I mean, you even admitted so, but like it's got to be literally the perfect scenario if in fact you love the job, which obviously Cheetah does a great job. Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard not to love. I find it interesting. It's got to be, even for this job, it's got to be complicated for you to be able to look at the product line and in the marketing brain of you're like, this is how I would solve it.
You know, it's complicated in a sense. It's a massive statement, right? I mean, it's a massive responsibility to, you know, for everything you just said, a marketer leading a company, selling marketing software and selling to marketers, it's a massive responsibility. You are on display. Like I always say that marketing is the most demonstrable function within an organization. Yes. Everything you do is on display and everybody has an opinion. I like that color. I don't like those words.
It shifts on a dime.
Absolutely. Right. And so when you do that for marketers at an enterprise level on a global scale, I mean, it's amplified.
Well, to your point on this though, like this is the part that would scare the hell out of me is I'm looking at this going like, listen, I mean, you're a high level operator. It is very, very unlikely that you don't see, even with your own company's things, you don't see things that you're like, I wish that was better, more effective. We could add this product. We could subtract this product, like whatever the case. You need to get your people to follow the right marching orders to be able to sell the product lest you don't have a business. But you also have to make sure the product is refined at such a degree that your customers love the product, so you've got that. Deep down, though, you're still this smart operator who used, you know, you were your own customer, essentially. So it's got to be so hard for you to divide, like, this is what we can divide and conquer today. We can accomplish today. Yeah. Tomorrow, I'd like us to be here for our customer's sake. But good Lord, people, if we don't make this change now, we're in deep doo-doo. Like, it's got your wearing hats are, like, stacked on top of each other.
It's so true. And I think all that, for me, all that manifests itself in the tagline that I created for the company. Right when we purchased it and we recast as Cheetah Digital, the tagline's dedicated to marketers.
Yep.
That idea that we are a company dedicated to marketers is ingrained throughout the organization. It is not just a catchy tagline, right? And I like to tell people it's not just something we put on marketing materials. It's something we wear on our sleeves because it's true. Yeah. Because in some capacity, everybody in our organization has either worked in the marketing technology industry or worked as marketers. And so we like to think that every decision we make, whether it's people we hire, content we write, products we create, relationships we build, all of it is predicated on that simple but really, you know, powerful statement that we're dedicated to marketers. And it's something that we believe internally. Like we self-check ourselves. We self-check on, is this dedicated to marketers, especially on the marketing team? For all the reasons that you said, when we're putting out this content, is this going to help people? Is it going to educate them? Is it going to inspire them? Is it going to allow them to be better at their jobs and be perceived as a leader within their organization? That's really important to us.
Yeah.
You know, so we sell a lot of software. Yes, we do. It's It's excellent software, and we help some of the world's biggest and best brands execute, you know, marketing campaigns. And we want to be better at that. We want to be the best at it. But we want our clients to know that not only are we trying to sell them great product, but we have their best interest in mind internally when we make decisions.
I love the sound of that. I want to ask one more thing on this. When you look at the companies and clients that you are servicing, and I don't know if you can speak to this or not, but if you can, it'd be amazing. What are the areas in marketing going forward that you guys are investing the most capital and just overall energy in? And what are, compared to, like, again, like going back to a conversation, well, actually, I just had a conversation with Logan Lahai from Techstars. We kind of briefly talked about how businesses sometimes get away from themselves. They're like, you as the executive have to be thinking about 5 years from now. The operators are making sure that they're hitting their deadlines on a, you know, quarter to quarter basis, and the customers are relying on you to tell them what they're going to need.
Sure.
And so I think in the marketing space, things are moving so rapidly in so many different directions that sometimes it's easy to get lost on, like, what is the best product to invest in? What is tomorrow's tools that are going to be success, and like what you guys are currently doing the best with today? Like, where do you fall in any of this?
It's a great question. And look, I think there's two areas of investment. When we set out, and I wrote the original press release when we launched Cheetah Digital, and in it, we said that we were going to invest in two areas significantly. One in product innovation, and the other one within our services organization, within our people. One of the things that really sets us apart as a company, and really has been part of the legacy of this company, is that we have a dedicated in-house services and support team. And, you know, we have roughly 800 people around the globe dedicated to specific clients, helping them solve complex challenges every day.
Yep.
In recent years, you know, really large enterprise software companies, you know, really large clouds, you know, they have now taken to shifting their model where they're taking all of that service and support, and they're farming that out to third parties. And they're saying, hey, look, we just sell technology.
Yep.
Right? And we're going to let our ecosystem of partners help you out with all of your needs from a execution standpoint, a strategy standpoint, a creative standpoint. We have people that do that. And if you need help, support, we'll send you to the right people as well. That's part of who we are.
Yeah.
Like the services component, the people component, we want, going back to dedicated marketers, we want our clients to know that, yes, we're going to provide them some service, but we have skin in the game too. Their success is our success. Yep. And we're really focused on that. So we already have a massive team of people around the globe supporting, and we're going to continue to invest in expertise there. On the product side, that's where it gets really interesting. Like, go back to what we talked about before, the MarTech 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, whatever it is. Everybody has some kind of product to sell, and everybody is really focused on delivering AI, machine learning, whatever it is, buzzword-esque technology that everyone feels compelled to either think about or purchase because everybody else is doing it.
Yep.
We definitely believe in machine learning and that type of innovation, but what we're doing now is we're really trying to understand what is it that the marketer wants? What is it the enterprise marketer wants every day, and how do we build innovation that speaks to those needs rather than just trying to keep up with the buzzwords?
Yep.
That's important to us. I think fundamentally, though, across the board, where we're investing the most is in data management capabilities. Okay? Like, you can sell whatever kind of AI or whatever kind of, you know, platform, software, whatever you want, unless a marketer truly understands their data, how to store it, how to manage it, how to segment it, make it actionable, and execute against it, they're going to be unsuccessful in their efforts. So going back to the Stellar acquisition, yes, it's a very much a loyalty product, a loyalty use case, but at the heart of what that platform is, it's really a, you know, it's a customer data management platform. And it is built on I'm going to get nerdy here, but it's built on a big data architecture platform, which allows us to execute in real time and allows marketers to have true control over their data, right? And to deliver programs across channels, highly personalized, et cetera, et cetera. So data is where we're spending a lot of our time, making sure that marketers understand how to manage and execute against it. It
sounds like everyone we talk to, data is the big spend.
It is.
I think we went through this, we talked about this a couple, I guess it was like 3 months ago. Like we went through the gauntlet that was big data. I don't think big data is the thing anymore. It's how do you use data? And one of the things that I found interesting is a lot of the businesses we talked to, particularly, I don't want to say older, but let's put it this way, not startups, have really had a hard time grasping. They're like, we spent all this money on capturing data and now we have to use it, and like that costs me more money. You're like, I hate to tell you this, but there's gonna be another thing after capture and use data that's gonna cost as much or more than the other, which is replicate the action. And and it's so from your standpoint, if you're looking ahead, if I'm making, you know, making stock picks here on this, I'm looking at things that are collecting, sourcing and sorting data so that I can use it for actionable things.
Yeah, I think so, but it's a little more nuanced than that. I think that it's not just about the data piece and having that and managing it. It's being able to execute against that as well. So I think one of the things that really makes us unique in the market and our product, we call it the marketing suite, it has all of that very sophisticated next generation data management capability and channel execution built into the same platform.
Yep.
So it is not a collection of softwares that you have to buy connected through APIs. It is one database, one platform working together to allow you to execute those kinds of programs.
Which, if you are a marketer and you're using multiple tools at one time, you know the pain, because it's an painful, absolute nightmare.
Absolutely.
Terrible.
And that's what I meant by, like, we are thinking about our innovation roadmap with that in mind. Going back to what you said before, removing distractions, right? Minimizing decisions that need to be made,
full
and doing
circle.
That through technology.
We talk about this all the time with internally on business side of things. Like, you know, it's not how fast you get something built, it's how well aligned it is with your go-to-market. If it's not, you know, if you're not going to be there in 6 months, but you're built ahead of time, you've just wasted all your money.
Absolutely.
Like, so stupid. Thank you so much for taking the time, Judd, to come on the show. Tell me and everyone else listening where people can go to learn more about Cheetah Digital. Cheetah Digital and or... you know, you, if you have a blog or social or anything like that.
Sure. Check us out at cheetahdigital.com. You know, I'll tell you, for everybody here in Chicago, we just moved our headquarters here back in March of this year. Our headquarters were in New York for a long period of time, but we're here now. I've rebuilt the marketing team here. So, you know, you can check us out at cheetahdigital.com or, you know, even stop by our Chicago office.
Sweet. I highly recommend it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can catch this episode of More at TechNerd.com. Get the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Spotify now, so you can go ahead and check that out. And of course, as always, want to hear from you. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anything you can think of. Allo, maybe even. I don't even know. At TechNoria, you can follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.